Amen. You know, Patrick didn't know what I'm going to talk about tonight, but I'm talking about the fact that we all go through trials, but we get glory. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:16. I'm getting it early tonight. I'm not usually at 7:23. I usually don't get it till about 7:30, so we might get out early. What do you know? 2 Corinthians 4:16. All right. Therefore, do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we've been renewed day by day. Get a hold of this. For our light and momentary troubles, our trials, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Then now go to 1 Peter 4:12. Peter says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening, but rejoice in the extent that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad and with exceedingly joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory, of the glory and of God rests upon you." I want you to notice the glory of God in these scriptures. And, you know, sometimes we have to realize that we're going to experience trials. We're going to experience some stuff, okay? But we can rejoice in the fact that the glory of God will be there for us and with us. You know, the Bible's really clear that we can experience the glory of God even though we're in the middle of a persecution or affliction or a trial. You know, now I'm not talking about adopting a lifestyle of being, you know, of living with your suffering or your trials. So God wants us to have all that Christ has provided for us. You know, but however, when we're doing that, we're going to have some situations. I want to encourage anybody here that's going through something. You know, it may be a persecution, maybe an affliction, maybe you're enduring a painful trial. I don't know, whatever. God wants you to experience his glory. I believe that God wants to reveal his glory to us in the midst of our trouble. You know, the trials we go through, we need to look at is the fact that the Word of God, Paul called them this, we need to look at the fact that they are temporary. They are not permanent. What God said is permanent, and he said he'd deliver us. Hello? You see, you know, Paul said they're light and momentary. And in this life, we're going to face trials and troubles and difficulties. Anybody ever read James 1:2? What does it say? Count it all joy when what? When you fall into all kinds of what? Trials, temptations, and so forth and so on. The reason is because, you see, you can count it joy because you know the glory of God can be revealed in your life. You see, look here at what Paul had to say in 2 Corinthians 11:23-28. Now, I'm going to read this whole thing here. See, we have to look beyond our trials and realize that they are just, they're there. But we can examine Paul's life here and see what he went through. 2 Corinthians 11:23. He said, I've worked much harder in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressures of my concern for all the churches. Now, does this sound like somebody that didn't have some kind of trials? I think, and yet he's the one that said, these are but light, momentary, you know, passing situations. I want you to notice he didn't talk about getting into lifestyle of living a lifestyle of suffering and trouble. We have to realize that trials and trouble are inevitable if we're going to live down here. Now, some people think that they're in the will of God when they have no trouble and they float around. And I don't know where we ever got this, but on flowery beds of ease. I don't know where we ever got that from. But everybody knows what we're talking about, right? Yes. You know, somebody talked about this is not no life of this is a life of you know, something meaning good, and yet roses have thorns.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but some people think that if they face trial, if they're in a situation that they're not in the will of God. Actually, probably, you better realize if the enemy's coming at you with all kinds of conflict and troubles and so forth and so on, it's probably because you're in the will of God. Because he's not messing with those that are not in the will of God. Why mess with them? He's messing, you know. But some people got a strange habit. I don't know where they got this, but I've heard it time and time and time again. And about, well, you know, if you was in the will of God, that wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
Anybody ever heard that?
I've heard it. Yes, sir.
But that's not necessarily so.
That's true.
You know, look at what Jesus said in John 16. John 16, this is Jesus talking now, verse 33.
Yes, yes.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, trials, so forth. That's what that word tribulation means. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yes.
Now he's telling you that in this world, you're going to have some situations. You're going to face some things. But what he's saying is, keep your trust in me, and you'll come out on the other side okay. That's what he's trying to tell us. I mean, I don't know how many people sometimes that I run into and have been, you know, that any time that there's any kind of opposition of any kind, they immediately, oh, I better repent. I don't know. I said, why you repent? I don't know, but look at this situation I'm in. And I said, well, have you done anything? No, I haven't done anything, but I've got these trials and so forth, so I must have done something wrong.
Wow.
I've heard people say that before. Anybody here ever heard anybody say that before? I see some hands. Actually, no, that's not when you need to start repenting. That's when you need to start thanking God for his glory that will be revealed through your circumstance, through your trial. See, God said he'd be with us no matter what. Whether the sun shines or the wind blows, whether it's cold or hot, cloudy or nice and pretty, God is there all the time. Whether you're in the midst of the greatest victory you ever had, God is there. If you're in the midst of the worst trial you ever been in, God is there. See, Matthew 28:20, you might want to turn there. I'll give you an opportunity. I watch the people on the front rows here. When I see them find it in their Bible and on their little phone or iPad, all right. Matthew 28:20. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So be it. Now look over to Hebrews 13:5. Flip on over there to Hebrews 13:5. He said, for he himself has said, this is the writer of the Hebrews saying what the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes. Never.
Some people think that if they're in the midst of a bad situation or a trial or something, that God's forsaken them. God's left them. No. He's still there. It's that you're not acknowledging him. You see, the enemy will kick the door down. The Holy Spirit will only come in when he is invited. You see, if you're going through some stuff, and this is the time of year that a lot of people experience a lot of difficulties and trials and situations, but you need to realize that God is with you and God wants to see you through those and he wants to give you glory through.
Yes.
Through the situation. You know, he is there to give you strength all the time. He is there to uphold you and sustain you. Said over in Isaiah, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. See, you need to confess and go back to what I was talking about being in Christ last Wednesday night, talking about that. You need to confess, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. When you start confessing that, that gives him an open door to come in and lift you up. God will be there for you. He is there all the time. Somebody said, I don't feel like it. The feeling ain't got nothing to do with it. That's the way I talk where I come from. I guess for some of you other people, feeling hasn't got anything to do with it. Now I walk both sides of the fence, so I won't get no letters. You ask my wife, I used to get letters from English teachers and different ones, didn't I? Wave your hand if I didn't. Telling me all of the wrong grammatical errors I was making. I'm serious. I didn't respond to any of them. But I started one time to write and said, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you get up and give a theological speech and see what I have to say about it? You studied English, I didn't. I studied the Bible and theology.
Yes, yes, yes.
That would have been a good answer, don't you think?
Yes, yes.
I didn't do it.
wanted to.
You're just like me. I guarantee you, there are many times you've been wanted to, but you didn't. See, I want you to get this, that the trial and the trouble that you're encountering is no sign that God has left you. Some people get to the point, they feel like, oh, I don't feel God. Well, hey, do you feel saved all the time? But I know I'm saved, whether I feel like it or not, because it's what the Bible says. See, I know God is with me all the time. I don't care whether I have any feeling or not. Feeling ain't got anything to do with it. It's what God said. Now, you know, I grew up, come from a Pentecostal background. And some of those people, they just didn't know anything about the word, you know. But everything is on a feeling. I just feel like God heard me when I pray. You know, because they had some kind of emotional something, fit or something. How many Pentecostals in here know what I'm talking about? Come on, give me some help here, okay? They come down the altar and pray and cry and bawl and squall, sling snot everywhere. Oh, I feel like God heard me. Woo! Yeah. Amen. Then the next time you see them, they're about to step on their bottom lip. Yeah. Oh, I just don't feel like God is anywhere close to me. Yes. But you see, they're basing it all on a feeling. It doesn't make any difference. Right. It's what God said. Right. You know, Paul encountered much trouble in his life. You know, even though he was in trouble, he still knew that God was with him. You know, we see a lot of the people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we got a lot of stories of the people that encountered all kinds of things. Daniel went in the lion's den. But you know what? He didn't think God had forgiven and forsaken him. In fact, he got down in the lion's den and said, hey, you lay down over there, I'm gonna use you for a pillow. You know? Joseph. God was dealing with him way back when he was a teenage boy, giving him all those dreams. But he had to deal with a lot of persecution. Yes, Joseph, I think, is the greatest story of forgiveness that you can ever find anywhere. There ain't many people would have forgiven their brothers like he did.
Oh, yes, that's
true. Did any of you see Joseph up at Branson? Any of you get to see that up there? Oh, I got several. That was a great story. In fact, the people that actually, now the kids are running it, but the man that actually started Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, he goes to a Rhema church, Sam Smucker's church up there in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And what he does is he takes the Bible, and he writes a storyline around it that he can present the gospel that people will come and listen and see a play that would never go inside of a church. That's what his deal is. I've seen Joseph and Noah, Jonah. And I tell you what, I mean, hundreds of people go to that up there and they see that, and he that's his way of trying to preach the gospel. Now, I I wish they'd bring it back. They haven't had it in a couple of years, the Miracle of Christmas. Oh, man, that was really good. It's a story about the miracle of Christmas. He embellishes the story some, and it tells you it's a story based upon Bible facts. It's a story based on Bible facts. But, you know, Joseph, he encountered trouble. Now, God didn't ordain him for all that to happen. But it simply shows that God was with Joseph no matter what happened. God was still there. God was still continuing to work in Joseph's life when it didn't seem like it was happening. You know, God is with you in trouble and he's still working on your behalf. I don't care whether you feel like it or not. I don't care whether you see anything going on or anything happening or not.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
In the times of trials, God is still working.
Yes, yes. He's working, yes.
See, he wants to reveal his glory in the midst of the trial. Hey, there is life after the trials. There is life beyond the trouble. Now, in the midst of our trials and our situations that we go in life, sometimes we want to develop the suffering complex. You know, oh, I'm suffering for God. No, you're not. The devil has brought something to you, and you've accepted it. And you've turned it around and said, oh, I'm suffering for God. No, you're not suffering for God. The devil brought something. What you need to do is develop an expectation of the glory of God to come in and take care of the situation. That's what you need to do. See, a suffering complex gets you out of trusting God. Expectation complex gets you in the frame of mind to expect God to do what he said he would do.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, I just don't know whether I'm going to make it or not. I tell you what, ain't nobody ever been through what I'm going through. I just don't know. That's the suffering complex. The expectation complex is right in the middle of it. When the devil is beating you over the head, you still got your hand up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I didn't say you would feel like it. Because you're sure not going to feel like it. But you praise God anyway. Go to Acts 16. Acts 16:25. See, when you give glory to God in the middle of your trial, God shows up. You don't feel like it. You might not even want to. But look at this. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners was listening. Now, wait a minute. Here is two guys that have just been whipped and put into prison. Their backs are bleeding, and the Roman commander didn't want them to get away, so he said, make sure they don't. So he put them not just in the prison, but he put them in the innermost part of the prison where there's no chance of escape. Then he put them in stocks.
Yes. Yes.
And there they are. I mean, it would have been real easy for Silas to punch Paul in the ribs with his elbow and say, hey, I thought you said the Lord told us to come over and preach. They could have had to come, well, God, we're doing what you told us to do, and look what happened to us. Where did we miss it? No. They began to pray and sing praises, and the prisoners was listening to them, heard them. They just wouldn't say, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. What a friend we have in Jesus. No, they were singing loud enough. You know, some people, I tell some people, I say, open your mouth, you know, and praise God. Hallelujah, glory to God. My soul. Act like you got some gumption or something. They were singing and praising God. And they had to be doing it pretty loud because the prisoners was all heard them, were listening. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains was loosed. Not only did it knock the prison down, it loosed the stocks and the chains that everybody had on, so nobody was chained, but nobody run off. They were all there. See, there is divine power that shows up when you begin to glorify God in the middle of your situation. Yes, 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 yes. There is divine strength that comes to you as you begin to glorify God in the middle of whatever you're facing. And you know what? In the middle of that situation, as you glorify God, you'll get divine answers. You'll experience divine deliverance in the midst of the trial. God wants to reveal His glory, but the only way He can reveal His glory if you do what Paul and Silas did in the middle of their trial, in the middle of their trouble, they began to sing praises to God. I don't care if you can't sing good, sing anyway. I sing by myself. It's all right. Nobody else can hear me. My dogs, they don't worry. My dogs don't worry about it. They come up to me while I'm singing in the backyard and want me to pet them. I'll be sitting out there and I got my music on my iPhone. I'll be sitting out there and I'll be singing with it. You know? Probably off key, but they don't care. They still come over there and knows me, want me to pet them while I'm sitting there praising God. See, you praise God in the middle of everything. Yes, yes, yes. You know, all of you knew, what, a year ago, this past June, before that, I couldn't even get up those steps without help. In fact, that's why we got the table, because I started sitting down to preach because of the pain. Now, I went ahead and had the operation on my knee, have a new knee put in. I'm sitting out there praising God while I'm gritting my teeth and doing those therapy exercises. Some people complaining about it. Oh, I can't. I did it at home 2 days a week, and 3 days a week I did it at, went to the deal. Well, I did it on Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday and Sunday at home, and 3 days I went to the therapy place. And they're griping and they're complaining. They're telling them how bad it hurt, and they're telling the therapist how bad it hurt. Oh, I just couldn't do it. And they'd look at me and say, and I said, oh, I'm fine. But I'm praising God. And some of the same people that had surgery when I did, they're back in there because they complained, didn't do the work. Now their knees all messed up. I got complete, all full. They tell me, in fact, my doctor said, you're the poster boy. My therapist said, they let me loose 2 sessions ahead of time, said, you've got complete extension, complete bending. You can't get no more with that knee. That wasn't an easy process to go through. I could have complained and got all upset and, you know, about it. But you just continue to praise God and go on. Then you see God work for you. See, somebody said, man, you really did good. Yeah, I said, I did what I had to do. God did what he had to do. And me and him together, we come out on top. That's what will happen to you in any kind of circumstance, situation you're in. With you and God together, with his power and you praising him in the middle of when you don't feel like it, when it's not fun. Do you think it was fun for Paul and Silas to be praising God at midnight with blood coming out of their back? Oh, God, we was preaching for you. And look at us now. Oh! Come on now. If you're going to get through your situation, you got to do what they did in the middle of their trial. If you're going through something, you are a candidate to experience the manifestation of the glory of God. I've heard my dad say it to me time and time and time again as I was growing up, and then even as I was here with him working. Well, I didn't do it too much then. I was on my runner not to. But I said, what are we going to do now, Dad? He said, we're going to praise God and act like the Bible's so. We're going to praise God and act like the Bible, so. Yes, yes, when we didn't have no food in the house. We're going to praise God and act like the Bible, so. Don't tell nobody. I mean, it's 1957. Remember, I graduated from high school in 58. So, hey, I'm 16, 17 years old. We ain't got no food. We're in California. That was, I guess it was my sophomore year in school because I took correspondence course. And we pulled into this and got the trailer set up and everything. And we ate. That was on a Saturday afternoon. We ate the last meal. And we knew we was going to go to preach at the church the next morning and probably the pastor take us out. You know, I knew that. I mean, I didn't say anything to Dad. So they did. So I was really hoping on after Sunday night that they would do that, but they didn't. Now remember, I'm a teenager. I was about 6'2", weighed about 135, 40 pounds. I graduated from high school at 145. Now, Dad, we got home and I said, Dad, I'm hungry. He said, I know. He said, now, here's what we're going to do. He said, we're going to praise God and act like the Bible's so. He said, now, don't you tell nobody, you kids, my sister and I were there. We're both teenagers. She's 19 months younger than me. Don't tell anybody. We don't have no food. So we sat down at the table and joined hands and thanked God that we had food. Praise God and went to bed praising God. Got up the next morning, he went off to teach, and we went through that Monday, and we went through Tuesday. We went through Monday morning and Monday noon. Dad came back from the morning service, helped us with some of our, because we did the work, and then he had to give the test and stuff. And then he went in like he always did in the afternoon to lay down, get ready for his night service. That's the way he did it. I'm sitting there, and my mind, I started saying, man, I wish that, man, we're hungry. And I remember Dad, and I said, oh, thank you, Lord, we got food. Amen, hallelujah, glory to God. And by that time, I heard something out there, and I got up and looked out the window, and there was a pickup truck just stopped out in front of our trailer. And The whole back of it was full of grocery sacks. I said, praise God. I went and woke Dad up. I said, Dad, a guy just stopped out in front of the trailer, got a whole pickup full of groceries. And so the guy knocked on the door, and Dad opened the door, and the guy said, now, Brother Hagin, said, ever since Sunday, the Lord been dealing with me to bring you groceries, but I knew you didn't need them. But today, it got so bad I couldn't stand it no more, so I just went down and bought a whole pickup load of groceries. And my dad didn't tell him, and he just said, well, praise the Lord, brother, thank you. We're glad to accept those. Thank you. Praise God. But you see, in the middle of that, we just praise God. Now, it's pretty hard for a teenage boy that's hungry to praise God and not grumble. But I had a good teacher. I didn't use you as an example because I have to use me. I'm not bragging on me. But what I'm telling you is in the middle of the situation, you don't want to do it, but you praise God anyway, and you will see the miraculous power of God come to your rescue. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Let me encourage you. When you're facing trials and situations, keep praising God. Don't let him get you the other side. God is there whether you feel like it or not. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. May each one receive what is needed to receive from what is said tonight. Thank you, Father, that we know that as long as we stay with you, even though we face trials and tribulations, that you will see us through and bring us out to victory. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody stand, please.